country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Welcome to our audience in South Bend, Indiana. You guys are joining our internet audience via kgov.com. You can call in at 1-800-8-NYART, but I guess I should first give you a reason to call in. First, we should talk about a topic and then give you the phone number. Hey, did you know, what if we hear that Osama bin Laden is dead? And we send, you know, now that we've sent in the Marines, right? And they've got a forward base just 12 miles outside of Kandahar. So what if we hear that, well, a bomb went off, and we happened to kill Osama bin Laden. They get the word, and they go and they look, and there he is, dead. The problem is, you know, there have been Osama lookalikes around Afghanistan, and they've even detained one guy in Pakistan who was a spitting image of Osama bin Laden, and they all look alike. So what if we can't tell that it's really him? What do we do? Well, this is according to Time Magazine, their next issue set to run, that U.S. officials say they will seek tissue samples, if possible, if Osama bin Laden, if he's killed, if his body is not incinerated, they will take tissue samples from his body and compare the DNA with, now this is what they're doing, in Saudi Arabia, they are trying to get tissue samples from some of his relatives. Now, what they would like to do is get tissue samples from his mother, because Osama bin Laden is, I think he's the only son of his mother. Now, his father has a lot of kids, and bin Laden is thought to be the only child of his mother, and he's the bin Laden family patriarch after his dad. So, good idea, of course, if you can pull it off. Maybe a little clump of hair or something. Just pull it off in passing. Then you got your DNA samples. I don't mean from his corpse. Just however you got it. That's a very good idea, of course. Now, who is the guy who wants to film bin Laden actually getting killed? He's over there now in Afghanistan, and Fox News has got this big hullabaloo about their new war correspondent in Afghanistan. And you know who it is? I'm asking my studio audience. It's Jerry River. He's on right now, live, on Fox News Channel. He's reporting. Let's see if we can hear him.
Afghans, the terrorists imported by Osama bin Laden, have no place else to go. They have vowed, and that, of course, is the...
We can hear him. He's Jerry Rivers. Jerry Rivers, remember his TV show in primetime, Al Capone's Vault? What a fiasco that turned out to be. It was just a basement. It was just a basement filled with dirt. That was it. That's his name, right? Jerry Rivers? Oh, Geraldo Rivera. Oh, come on. That's just his stage name. He's Jerry Rivers. Geraldo Rivera. You know what we call him? Horrendo Revolto. We call him Horrendo Revolto in his Al Capone's vault. Well, how many tens of millions of people were watching, and it was just a basement filled with dirt. Now, that was a disaster. And now that the war is nearly over, he heads over to Afghanistan. The war's over. Now, actually, it's not over yet, and reporting there is still a dangerous job. And even though, you know, I despise, that's why we call him Horrendo Revolto. I despise the guy. But even though he's a woman-hating liberal journalist, hopefully he can improve on the dismal quality of reporting that's been coming from within Afghanistan. I'm so sick of seeing reporters in their backyard night after night just telling us what they've heard. There's been a little bit of good reporting, but mostly miserable on all the networks. PMSNBC and CNBC, Fox News, and forget CNN. Well, at any rate, hey, by the way, I just wanted to let, not a program note exactly, but those in the audience who get our monthly Bible studies, we've been doing them on Wednesday nights for a long time now, and we've switched to Sunday nights starting this week. So if any of you guys are anywhere near the Denver area and you'd like to visit us on a Sunday night, come on a Sunday night. Now, last night was our first Bible study on Sunday nights, and we had a blizzard. We've had summer weather until yesterday. Then the weather was horrendo revolta, to tell you the truth. We had people on their way to the Bible study, and they turned around because it was blizzard conditions. But this is Denver, Colorado, so by today everything was melted. I was up in the mountains, actually. A friend of ours owns a mountain, and we were there on his mountain, Arts Mountain, we call it. Had a great time. We were working all day, but had a great time. Okay. Hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, so the Marines have landed. Send in the Marines? Well, we did. And they've now established a forward base of operations about 12 miles out from Kandahar. We've got an American base inside Afghanistan right next to their spiritual headquarters, their capital, Kandahar. Not the capital of the country, which was Kabul, but the spiritual center of the Taliban movement. And we've got hundreds in now, and they're building up to more than 1,000. And we've got Army Special Forces there and Rangers. They've got attack helicopters. I hope they have Apaches there, because those things are fierce. Now, I always like to, you know, whenever an Apache is used, I get a little extra excited, because I worked on the Apache program back, let's see, that was the year, that was 1985, was that, 84? No. I get confused. That was 1984, and the Army was set to buy hundreds of Apache helicopters, I think about 300 initially, and the order of the first 60 was put on, the Army was threatening to put it on hold because the simulation software to teach the pilots how to fly the Apaches and teach the maintenance guys how to take care of them, the simulation software was not working. It had severe defects. And so Hughes Helicopters, actually, they started out the Apache program, and then McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company bought out Hughes, and I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. They hired me and a couple other young students from the Computer Science Department of Arizona State University to get that Apache simulators, get them working. And we worked 12, 16, 18, 20, 24-hour days for months. We actually slept at work and got paid the whole time. It was pretty neat. And I ended up having the honor of briefing a Pentagon procurement general on the status of the project. And we succeeded in our effort, and the Army did take their delivery of the first 60 Apaches on schedule. And you know, in the Gulf War, the Desert Storm, what attack aircraft went into Iraq first? It was Apaches. I think it was 8 of them. And they fired 40, between them, 40 Hellfire missiles, and took out their major radar stations, facilities. And so then we just sent an onslaught of planes in there. You know, in the first 24 hours of Desert Storm, we destroyed the same number of targets that we took out in the first 2 years of World War II in Europe. In 24 hours, we took out the same number of targets that we took out in 2 years. Isn't that amazing? In World War II, guess, I'll ask my studio audience, guess how many bombs we used on one target in World War II? Let's say you had a target, whatever it was. Let's say it was a factory. All right? You guys want to take a pool? Or do you each want to give us, all right, 30. 30 is wrong. It's low. Okay, 50 is wrong. Everybody's given their own. Oh, 100. 100? No. 500? That's low. 650. 650 bombs per target in World War II. And today, if you compare our weaponry, our delivery systems of high explosives in this war in Afghanistan to the Persian Gulf War just 10 years ago, Desert Storm, it makes the weapons we used 10 years ago look primitive. That's how far we've come, especially with GPS. GPS, you know, global positioning satellite guided weapons. I mean, that's pretty serious. You want to take out a headquarters? You type in the address. Go to 349 South Oak Street and go through the side entrance. And that's pretty much it. And there it is. Bam-o. So it's exciting to see what economic prowess can do in for a nation in defensive warfare. Because obviously warfare is dangerous, but comparatively the Gulf War 10 years ago was almost casualty free. Almost casualty free. And in this war, we're losing more people to accidents than we are in combat. To accidents. Where we accidentally kill our own guys. A tragedy. But it's neat to see what our military is able to do. All right, and you know what? We've got this forward base now outside of Kandahar. And you know the purpose of it right now. Well, they've got a number of jobs. But one of the jobs is to make it so that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, so that they can't travel freely around Kandahar. Because we have reports, a few reports, that a week ago, that Osama bin Laden was in, what's the name of that town in the east of Afghanistan? Oh, Jalalabad. He was, he apparently had a dinner at a restaurant with his friends in Jalalabad. And one of his former associates, or a guy who was involved in his organization, says he saw him on a street corner surrounded by 60 bodyguards talking with others for upwards close to an hour. And so if he's in Kandahar and we don't have control of Kandahar, then he has free movement. And so our troops, did you hear about the convoy they took out after this?
Start from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's where a lot of unbelievers start their argument. They think their ancestors were pond scum. No matter how much you want to agree with them, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. So do you know how to defend creation when someone calls it a fairy tale? What will you say to an evolutionist when he states, "We've been here for millions of years"? Get the information you need to make the evolutionists squirm in their chair. Bob Enyart has been a talk show host and a student of science for many years. He knows the evolutionary argument, and he knows that science proves there is a creator. Genesis Creation is a 6-tape audio album for $29.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-ENYART. The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people, a history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. We produced a 2-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95. Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
Hey, we're back. Bob Benyard Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We'll start taking calls soon. But first, hey, I want to give you a report out yesterday and another report out today. And you compare them, okay? Now, the report yesterday came from our own KGov News Service and our correspondent in Japan, an economic report. And the report out today comes from Washington, from Reuters. So compare these two reports. Yesterday, from the KGov News Service, our correspondent in Japan, Doug McBurney, reporting on America's economy, stated this: "Now that all three American networks are reporting that we are in a recession, we must be out of it by now." Okay, that came in yesterday from our KGov News Service. And this today from Reuters: "Recession began in March." That's pretty good, huh? "The struggling U.S. economy slid into recession in March, and its condition was worsened by the September 11th attacks. A panel of economists said," all right, on today, "the announcement was by the National Bureau of Economic Research." So you got the National Bureau of Economic Research telling you today that we went into the recession in March, and yesterday you had your KGOV.com news service correspondent in Japan saying that now that all three American networks are reporting we're in one, we must be out of it by now. Good point. That's pretty good. That's from, that was filed by Doug McBurney. Okay, what else we got here? Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Bush, George W. Bush. And those who listen to Bob Benyard Live for a long time, you know that I don't like George Bush. I just don't like George W. Bush. But I am going to say a couple positive things about him. Because just because I don't like him doesn't mean I'm going to criticize him when he does good things. And one thing, well, to start with, before these two things, is I think his prosecution of this war has been excellent. I think it's been absolutely excellent. And I'm proud of our American armed forces. And I'm glad that the White House is talking tough about Iraq and Indonesia. And there are articles out today quoting administration sources that we're also looking at the Sudan and Yemen. These are good things. These are very good things, and I'm glad about that. But so I appreciate the prosecution of the war, but let me say this. Two things that Bush has been on, and he's been on them right. The first is we're in the middle of this war on terrorism, and we have some idiot company on the East Coast, Advanced Cell Technology, announcing that they've cloned a human being. They've cloned a human being, and they say it's just for research. They say it's just research cloning and therapeutic cloning. Oh, no, 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 no. They would never, ever try to implant that embryo in a womb and have a baby come from it. No, they don't want to do reproductive cloning. They're just doing therapeutic cloning. And, of course, that's despicable. And I do want to compliment George W. Bush. President Bush today decrying that research and that company's claim to have cloned a human embryo, and he said we should not grow life to destroy it. And he said that what this Massachusetts research firm has done is, quote, morally wrong. Pretty neat. That's good. That's unequivocal. He said the use of embryos to clone is wrong, and we should not, as a society, grow life to destroy it. And that is exactly what is taking place. So I'm real thankful about all that. And then Ari Fleischer. And the neat thing is that there's a lot of patriotism right now, and Bush has a bully pulpit that can be effective because he's got this incredible approval rating, the highest and most sustained in history for an American president. And it's because we were attacked. That's why. I mean, it would be very similar regardless who the president was. If you're attacked, if you're a socialist liberal like FDR with a lesbian wife like Eleanor, who's in love with the news photographer who lives at the White House, we know from her letters that have now been made public at the Roosevelt Library. If you're FDR, the people are going to love you because we're in a war, Pearl Harbor. It's just the nature of it. You know, Rudy Giuliani, he had this affair. His wife left him. He's kicked out of the Mayo mansion in Manhattan because his wife is living there, and she kicks him out because he's cheating on her, and his wife's a pig, and what a mess, and what a liberal in so many ways, and the whole city loves him because they were attacked. That's human nature. That makes sense. But with all that said, I'm glad Bush is saying this at this time about these human embryos, because it's wrong to kill innocent people to use their parts. It doesn't matter if you can cure the entire world of every ailment. You don't kill innocent people to use their parts. And I'm glad Bush is saying this. I wish he was this strong. When was it? A half a year ago? With the funding, federal funding for embryo research, stem cell research. And he couldn't just take this strong stand and say it's wrong. He should have just said it's wrong. And not only will we not fund it, but we're going to try to prosecute. We're going to try to change the law. You don't use kids' parts. What are we? We're turning into Dr. Mengele's. At any rate, the second thing I want to compliment Bush about is he's sticking with his decision to use military tribunals to try terrorists. And why is it good to use military tribunals to try terrorists? Instead of our civil court system in this country? Well, because we just tried terrorists who attempted to blow up the World Trade Center in 1993, and the trial was an utter failure. It was an utter failure. We convict these terrorists of trying to blow up the World Trade Center. They killed people. They injured hundreds, and they don't get the death penalty. They get cable TV. That's what they get. And basketball and volleyball. And they get warm in winter and cool in summer and fed and clothed and educated and medicated and legally represented. If they want to sue us because the color TV doesn't work well enough or there's not enough channels, we'll pay for the lawsuit. And you know what else we did in that trial against those terrorists? We had to make public the structural integrity of the World Trade Center and all the details about the building. Just the kind of stuff Osama bin Laden would want to see. How strong is the building really? What would it take to really knock it down? And we had to make all that public. And a number of our sources, and just what a mess. It was an utter failure. So we want to use military courts. It's much closer to valid justice. You know, how don't we have a UMCJ? No, UCMJ, Universal Code of Military Justice. Hasn't the military tried hundreds of Americans in the last half century? Of course they have. So if if our military, if their justice is good enough for an American soldier, it's good enough for a murdering dog like Osama bin Laden. What, are we going to bring Osama bin Laden and to a jury trial in New York City, in Manhattan, and have the jury pool from hell? You know, to be politically incorrect, it would have to be at least half Muslims, at least, probably, and the other half females, who, you know, they don't like to kill anyone. So, I don't like to kill anyone either, except for a female juror who lets a murderer go. Well, actually, there are other people too. Hey, let's go to the phones. Our number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. In St. Cloud, Minnesota, Dan, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about socialist liberals.
Socialist liberals, okay.
Yeah, and tax rates.
All right.
Perhaps America's on the right track, except I know now we pay nearly 40 to 50% taxes, but perhaps if we paid up to 60% taxes, we would be close to a utopia.
Up to 60? Why would you want us to pay more?
Well, I'm just going by what the newspaper says. This is a report in the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. The article's out of Los Angeles.
All right.
It's about the United Nations Human Development Reports confirms that Norway is the number one place to live in the world.
Norway?
Norway.
Why is that?
It's based on indications of health, wealth, and social outlook. Now, in Norway, they pay up to nearly 60% in taxes. So apparently they're on to something.
Yeah, 60% in taxes. So Let's figure that out now. If your family, man, if your family makes $30,000 a year,
right,
you're struggling.
Right.
You're paying $18,000 a year in taxes, so right. You get to keep 12.
Right. Well, apparently that works because according to this article.
Okay. We had to bring you. Dan, please speak as loud as you can. We have a little feedback here.
Okay. Apparently, if you pay up to that percent in taxes, it's near a utopia. In Norway, based on this UN report, it's ranked number one in the world to live. Based on that report, they have the best schools, the best health care, and equality towards women. They quote from the International Development Minister, our moral obligation to share the wealth increases with the amount of our wealth.
Mm.
And I guess they have very high oil reserves up there. So if anyone needs oil, just go to Norway. They're ready to give it away.
They'll give it away.
Right. In Norway, I guess the population is about 4.5 million.
All right.
Which isn't much more than the state I live in.
Yeah, it's about like Colorado.
Yeah. There, they have about 50 murders a year,
mm-hmm.
and thousands of petty thefts, according to this article.
All right.
I don't know, 50 seems kind of low, but that's not a very large population.
Well, right, but you got to take the rate, which still sounds like it'd be very low. But you know what? You have such a, like Northern European countries, they don't have nearly the cultural difficulties that many countries around the world have, because they have a very tight population. They're very closely related culturally. We'll be back right after this.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them NYARD people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So This is George from Jersey. Out!
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't want to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against n***a too, right? Yeah, n***a. Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my box.
You should be ashamed to even have that man walking around. That's all I do all day is just walk around. They should at least make me use a wheelchair and roll me from room to room. And that would be better. All right, our number 1-800-8-NYART. By the way, you could also instant message me at kgovlive@aol.com. And during the breaks, I've been going through the emails we've got here. Going to go back to Dan in Minnesota in a moment. But I got an email from somebody at somewhere. And it's an attachment. And just to let you know, we almost never, ever open attachments. We just don't do it. So you want to email kgovlive@aol.com. Just put your message in the body of the email. So I'm deleting this, sight unseen, as we have the thousands of other emails we received with attachments. For one, of course, you don't know who's sending the stuff. And, let me go back to the phone. Uh-oh, we lost Dan. All right, Dan is gone. All right. That's right. Well, maybe Dan will call back in. You might be able to use that line. And our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right. Okay, Dan from St. Cloud, Minnesota. So, Dan, we were talking about Norway.
Right.
And the liberals think it's the best place in the world to live.
Exactly. That's what they're trying to push here through the newspaper article.
Because they've got a 60% tax rate.
Right.
And let's just make that clear. If you make $30,000 a year, that means the government takes $18,000 and you get $12,000.
Right.
Wow, that sounds great, doesn't it?
Well, I wonder if 60% is enough, because here in St. Cloud, where I live, they tried to add on a tax levy for the public schools again this year.
Right.
Got turned down, but I wonder if we actually did give 60% of our income to taxes, I wonder if that's enough, or would the levy stop after that?
Mm.
Maybe it would go up to 65, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the locals, Norwegians' comments on American life, from the prevalence of handguns in poor people to the death penalty and class distinctions that deprive some children of equality in education. So that's apparently a complaint against America, is we have too many handguns and we're not providing poor kids with a good education because of...
Right, because we only spend about $6,000 a year on each poor kid's education.
Right, it's not enough.
That's not enough.
Right.
Even though it's about the highest dollar amount in the world, or up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, the more you spend on kids' educations, as a rule of thumb, the worse they perform academically.
Yeah, I heard recently the highest... science test scoring in the country is one of the poorest education-wise is Montana.
Oh, you did hear that, huh?
Yeah, I heard that recently.
We've been saying that on Bob and Yurt Live for 10 years.
Oh, really?
That as a general rule, the states in the U.S. that have the highest academic results are the states that spend the least amount of money per student. And not only that, we've also shown over the years when these reports have come out, you know, showing the budgets per student, what's budgeted by states and countries, we've also shown that the countries that spend the most per student, their students, their kids, tend to score at the bottom of the heap.
Like Florida.
Well,
they spend high.
Like everywhere. How about
yeah.
Los Angeles? How
right.
about the L.A. school district?
Mm-hmm.
And New York City and Washington, D.C.? I mean, it's all a joke.
It is.
And, you know, I'd rather they do poorly academically if you go to a public school.
Yeah, we want them to do poor.
Yeah, because I don't want the public schools to succeed because they're godless.
Right.
They're godless. And, you know, all the criminals we've got among young people in America, I'd rather they be dumb. I don't want a better educated breed of criminals.
Yeah.
We do stories on the show where we say, try to spot the public school alumni. And then we do some crime story, and it's just hysterical.
Well, back in Norway, they have very high state aid, which is another good thing, apparently, for the liberals. State aid to single mothers is so generous that there's no need for a father's income. Half of children are now born out of wedlock.
Isn't that... That is a paradise. That is a utopia. Dads are superfluous in Norway.
Right.
You don't need a dad in Norway. If you're born in Norway, chances are 50-50, you won't have a dad. Boy, you'll be, that's got to be the best place in the world to live.
Right. There's no official quotas, but women make up half the cabinet and parliament seats and fill more than 40% of judicial and academic posts. So they can do that because the kids don't need a father.
Right.
And go out and pursue the political career.
Right, sure.
Oh, and Norway's commitment to providing education, libraries, daycare, and government services of uniform quality nationwide eats up more resources each year because public investment in thinly populated regions is just as expensive as in urban centers.
Well, here's a question I have. Why is it that America's poor have a higher standard of living than the middle class in Europe? If Norway is the best place in the world to live,
mm-hmm.
why is it that our poor, the millions of people who qualify as falling under the poverty level, under the poverty line, why is it that they have a higher standard of living? If you look at disposable income and you look at their recreational days and hours and the cars they drive, and the percentage of them that have air conditioning and cable television and travel
mm-hmm.
and all the everything you look at and their diet and their health care.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the poor in America have a higher standard of living than the middle class in Europe?
Why do people here, when they have a serious condition, they want the best health care, they come to this country?
Well, no, when people are really sick, they go to Norway. That's what I've heard. You know,
yeah.
Let's say you've got a leader. Let's say there's a national leader in Africa,
mm-hmm.
and he needs some kind of treatment. Don't they all go to Norway?
I've heard of Mayo Clinic, but maybe Norway's maybe it's a little better. I don't know.
Yeah, they
Mayo
come
Clinic.
To the whole world. If they got the money and they're sick, they come to America
right.
as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you might get a specialty somewhere else. Like if you want acupuncture, you go to Japan. And if you want some kind of a unusual treatment that they don't legalize here, you go to Mexico. But if you want some cow
really strange. You go to India.
Yeah, if you want some cow to lick your scalp to grow hair back, you go to India. But if you need something like, you know, like a triple bypass surgery to stay alive, you go to New York City.
Right.
Or Denver or L.A. or St. Cloud or anywhere, because we know how to do those things. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, I just thought I'd point this out. I saw this in the paper. I heard it on O'Reilly a few months ago. And
O'Reilly. O'Reilly.
The O'Reilly Show.
I'm going to start, you know what? I'm going to start keeping a file on O'Reilly.
Yeah, the O'Reilly Show. Because you should go back on there. But
O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I'm Al is my co-host computer here. And O'Reilly's first name is, what's that?
Bill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly. And you know, I don't have, all right, Al, I'm going to reprimand my co-host here, Al. He's Al the Fourth.
Right.
Because he doesn't have any information on Bill O'Reilly for me at my fingertips. And O'Reilly was talking, he did an interview with a Catholic priest a while back about the cloning and all. And the Catholic priest was making the point that scientifically life begins at conception.
Right.
And O'Reilly just took him to task and said, there is no way, it is not known when life begins. And you cannot say that life begins at conception. And I heard O'Reilly interviewing George W. Bush during the campaign, and he challenged Bush because Bush is pro-death penalty, and he knew that Bush was claiming to be a born-again Christian.
Right.
And he said, now, come on, George, you know that Jesus would not support the death penalty. And he pushed him on that issue. And also, the few times I've heard O'Reilly mentioning homosexuality, he's been as gracious and kind and supportive to homosexuals as you want to get.
I've noticed that, too.
Yeah. So,
he's on the fence. Some issues, he's sort of conservative, but...
Well, he doesn't like Bill Clinton and Janet Reno.
Right.
But, boy, he's a Harvard lawyer. We conservatives are so desperate to have somebody on our side. We'll take a Harvard lawyer, pro-homosexual, pro-abort, anti-death penalty talk show host, and make him our national leader.
Yeah, he's the conservative host we all know now, and he's very liberal.
Right. And so we're sunk. Once again, we're sunk from the get-go, because our leaders are the enemy. What a mess. Hey, Dan, thanks for calling from Minnesota.
Good thing. Take care.
Appreciate it. Hope it's not too cold up there.
We just got our first snow, and we're covered.
All right, us too. Bob, we'll be right back.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and call people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
All right, we're back. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, let me read you a letter we got. Now, this was not an email. This is handwritten in a blue marker, and it came in an unmarked brown package. And I'm going to read it to you, but I'm not going to give you the name. Okay, and then see if you can figure out why I'm reading this letter on the air. I'm Bob and you're live on KGov.com and in South Bend on WHME. Here we go. It's very short. It's three sentences. Bob and Cheryl, here are some more boys' clothes. I am so happy to send these to you. Thank you for being on the front line in so many battles for the Lord. Sincerely, I'm not going to say the name. Now, why? So we get a box of clothes every so often. Maybe once every 9 months or so, we get a box of kids' clothes because the guy that sends these to us, his kids are just ahead of our little kids and the development growth curve. And so when his kids outgrow the clothes, they're right size for our kids. Well, the reason I'm reading this to you is not to try to drum up more used clothes, because now our kids are getting their own hand-me-downs. But it's because this letter was written by a federal judge. A federal judge. And I won't even tell you what state he's in, because he and I have talked frequently and for years. And if he publicly supported our ministry, they would find a way to disbar him. He'd be off the bench. But he not only supports our spiritual ministry of promoting the gospel and upholding biblical morality, but he also supports our criminal justice system and how the government's criminal justice system should be fixed. So it's exciting. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What a nice letter. See, I'm not crinkling it up. I'm saving it for posterity. Okay. Now I'll go to an email. This here email from somebody. I can't, you know, some email names you could pronounce. Like, you know, just like KGovLive at AOL. But this here is one you cannot pronounce. But anyway, here's what it says. Dear Bob, about 3.5 years ago, my family and I moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and could no longer receive your television show. We moved back to Elkhart, Indiana, about a year ago, and I wanted to start watching your TV program again, but you were no longer on the air. Last week, I switched my radio to 103.1 FM WHME out of South Bend, and at last, I found you. Bob, I became a Christian about a year ago. Huh, let's see. He stopped watching the show 3.5 years ago, became a Christian a year ago, 2.5 years after he watched the show. Okay. Bob, I became a Christian about a year ago, and you played a big role in watering those seeds that had been planted. I go to church on a regular basis and read the Bible regularly. This past summer, my wife and I, we were former Catholics. We became Christian. I just want to let you know, you helped me get here, and I'm glad to find you back on the air. Your brother, Terry. Terry, praise the Lord. Tell your wife I said hello. And how in the world did your wife put up with the show if you were watching it 3.5 years ago and you guys weren't Christians? Most Christian wives can't put up with the show. You know, we get a lot of people saved in this ministry of ours, a lot. And we've reached a lot of women about to have abortions and people living together and not married, and now they're married and they homeschool their kids. All right, let's go to South Bend, Indiana. This is Ernst. Ernst in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome, Ernst.
Yeah, Ernie.
Ernie. Hi, yeah. Ernie.
Hi, Bob. I've been just following your show. You were on TV sometimes, and then you got off then, and now you're back on radio. So I've enjoyed your conservative approach. I've got a question.
Yeah.
You had just advertised about a tape that it kind of raises the question, can Christians lie as Christians?
Right.
And I've got a question for you. I'll kind of lay the background. When Rahab protected the spies, she downright lied to the officers that were looking for him.
Yeah, that's right. She did lie. And it was the king of Jericho.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the government. She lied to the government.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, there's great question as to whether the income tax was actually passed or not, plus the fact that it's unconstitutional anyway, according to the way the Constitution is written. So my question is, can we lie on our income tax?
Okay. Let me answer it. Let me begin by answering it my way, okay?
Sure.
If that's right, Ernie?
Yes.
God in 1 Samuel says that a 10% income tax is tyrannical.
Right.
10%. And we have a 50% tax in America.
Right.
We know that because the government spends half of the GNP.
Right.
So of the gross national product. So half of what the country makes, the government spends. So no matter how they hide it, our tax rate is 50%. So they're stealing from us.
Exactly.
And it is wrong.
Right.
Okay. So you might want to reduce the extent to which you're getting robbed. And if the government, we have bumper stickers that we don't have them in stock or anything, but we've had them around here.
I can print some up for you, Bob.
They say, don't steal. The government hates competition.
Right.
So if you're going to get mugged in an alley and you punch the guy in the nose and keep the money in your pocket, good for you.
Right.
But if the government is trying to mug you and you stop them, then they're going to very possibly put you in jail if they can.
Right.
Or if you save $2,000, they're going to try to penalize you and get $20,000 out of you.
Right.
So it's a very high-stakes game.
But that's not my question.
Yeah.
My question is, if I'm willing to take that risk, am I sinning by doing it?
No, you're not sinning if you're trying to keep someone, anyone, from stealing from you. You're definitely not sinning.
I wish 1,000 preachers could hear that, because they lay a guilt trip on their congregation. Say, well, no, you don't cheat on your income tax, blah, blah. And they don't know what they're talking about, Bob.
Right. No, they don't. And I don't advocate people do that because of the tremendous risk.
Oh, I understand that.
But this is what I advocate, that people not tax. You know, you have tax avoidance and tax
evasion.
Right. And tax evasion is a crime. And so I don't advocate that because of the risk. But, you know, businessmen, corporations, millionaires have finagled ways of paying no taxes. Overall, the rich pay the lion's share of the tax in America.
Right.
By far. But there have been plenty of opportunities with government-designed loopholes for wealthy people and corporations to pay little or no tax over the years. Right.
Okay,
it's all a scam.
Oh, of course. It's a scam from the word go. There's doubt as to whether that actually passed, and they can't call it a law because...
Well, and I think that is irrelevant.
Okay.
Here's for a few reasons. Our courts, they don't go by the law.
No.
It doesn't matter what the Constitution says.
No, it doesn't.
The Constitution says you can't have ex post facto law. You can't pass a law and enforce it retroactively.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Clinton passed the tax increase his first year, I think it was, and he enforced it retroactively. Now, our whole government is unconstitutional in 1,000 ways. So one evil judge, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., he said once, and he was right, he said, well, to paraphrase him, it doesn't matter what the law says. What matters is what a judge is expected to do.
Yep.
That's what matters because...
Yep.
Hey, you could be right and in jail.
Exactly.
So if you say to 1,000 judges, the income tax is unconstitutional, not a one of them is going to want to get kicked off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to say, we don't care what your evidence is, you're going to jail for not paying your income tax.
Right.
It's irrelevant. And you know what I really despise? The Christians who deceive others into thinking that because the income tax was not ratified correctly,
right,
you don't have to pay it and you could win in court. Because my friends who I know around the country have done that, they've all gone to jail.
Yep.
Because you can't win.
Right.
The only way you win is if you're so pitifully poor and miserable, they don't care to go after you. And that's what all my friends who go that route, that's what they all become.
Yep, yep.
They don't carry a driver's license, and they end up in jail on the most petty things. So if you want to take that stand in jail, say goodbye to your wife, your kids, your house, your business.
Right.
And go. Well, if you're going to go to jail, stop an abortion on the way.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, now that, but that clears it up for me because, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, everybody says, well, you know, if you lie, if you bear false witness, blah, 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 well, then you're sinning. Well, there are exceptions.
Ernie, in the Bible, there are so many men of faith that lied to the government over and over and over.
Uh-huh.
Not just the Hebrew midwives.
Right.
And Rahab's spies and on and disobeying the government. The Hall of Faith. Half the people in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, disobeyed the governing authorities. And God said they were great men because of their disobedience and their deception. So, hey, thanks so much, Ernie.
You've been a tremendous help to me, Bob.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
I'd give you an hour to cut that out, but what time?
No, that's fine.
God bless you, Ernie.
Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir.
It's so neat to have good calls coming in from South Bend, Indiana. And we remember the guy from last week who thought Romans was in the Old Testament. So that's right. Ernie balanced him out. So South Bend now is batting 500 again. All right? Ernie balanced him out. Ernie knows Romans is in the New Testament. And Rahab is in the Old Testament. Anyway, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.